Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's forget about that. Okay, hi everybody. We usually have a video, or not a video, but some music at the beginning of our show, but somehow it got cut off of our show this morning, or this afternoon, or is it this evening, you guys? Oh my God, keep me straight. Anyway, good evening everyone. This is Luann. You're listening to Faceless Radio, the Hidden Truth Revealed channel, the Inside Scoop. I am with my other co-host tonight, Robin Austin. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to the show, everyone. Yes. Welcome, Luann. I'm glad you're joining us.
Good, good. And we have Marcy Friedman. Are you with us?
I am. Have a nice night, everyone, and I'm feeling very, very hopeful with all the great changes that are going on in Florida, all the positive changes, and we are making progress. So I'm very, very happy and hopeful tonight.
Good, good. And we also have Hillary Helges with us. She's from Florida also.
Hi, everyone. Good evening.
Good, good. So we have all of our co-hosts on tonight. That's pretty good, actually. Gosh, we got a really good radio show, and I have to tell you about the Dirty Money movie first. It came out tonight. It is on Netflix, season 2, and it's called Guardians, Inc., I-N-C, and the whole show is about guardianship abuse, and all these people, I either know them personally on Facebook or I've interviewed them on our radio show. So you guys, and Phil Ross is on there quite a bit. He did a tremendously good job, by the way. I just want everybody to know that.
Good.
Yeah, it's really excellent that we are finally getting, you know, a lot of advocacy work is going on in many different states. And the guests that we have on tonight are from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and they've done a tremendously good job down there. They've got the article out there. But first of all, I'm going to talk about who our guests are. We have Julie Parks, we have Robert Rummel, Don Nelson, and Neff, we're going to call him, a short word for him because I can never pronounce his name. He's so cute. Anyway, they are all from Colorado Springs, Colorado. These advocates are doing a fantastic job exposing guardianship abuse. So far, there's an article called The Perfect Crime in the Colorado Indy, and the guardianship movie will be airing in Colorado Springs this weekend, March 13th and March 15th, 2020. And so, and this is what it says about the guardianship movie. It says, seniors' lives are being cut short. Some are locked up, others missing, and the rest are at risk. Millions of their assets are embezzled. Who are the predators? Join us in Colorado for the documentary film, The Guardians, presented by Rick Black from SEER, hosted by Julie Park in Colorado Springs and all of her advocates down there. The panelists are Terry Black from SEER, Athena Rowe will be there with SEER, and, of course, Luann Fleming, me, and Cliff Batista will be with Faceless. We will be joining their team down there in Colorado Springs. It's going to be quite an exciting event going on down there. Anyway, anybody else, any of you have anything you want to talk about before we bring our guests on?
Wanted to thank Hillary Ho for being such a wonderful angel to everyone. Her hard work and dedication and passion in North Florida has been incredible. She has made sure that all of the advocates are involved in the summit that was held in Sun City, and it was actually due to her getting us involved that we have been able, as a whole group and team, to open avenues to different ways that are really being shined a light with the senior fraud that is going on and the senior negligence that is going on. And a lot of opportunities are being opened up because of that. And I have to give Hillary a big 10 of applause, because if it wouldn't have been through her, I wouldn't have known about it, or other advocates. So she's very, very passionable, and I just want to say how grateful I am.
Yay, oh, yay, Hillary.
Yay, Hillary.
That's
you
awesome.
Are so, so nice, but it is it's a team effort from advocates, activists from North Carolina, from Texas, who are helping us in Florida. We're doing well. From when my dad was put into an emergency guardianship 2 years ago in November 2017, and my family's lives were blindsided, we will never be the same. Things feel a lot different. You know, it's an uphill battle, but we are doing it. We have, for anyone from Florida that is listening, we have a big meeting next Wednesday. I want to say it's the 18th in Fort Lauderdale at the courthouse with bigwigs who want to hear our stories. And we want to let them know our stories, but more importantly, we want change so no one else will have to go through the same nightmares that we have. We want to put a stop to this, and we want changes,
right,
and we want them now. So, again, I welcome our colleagues, I'll say, from Colorado, and I'll let them take over the show. Thank you.
Right, right, right. Yeah, we have some really good advocates on. I mean, I've been in touch with them quite a bit. We've been extending, and I'm going to have them all come on. Let me go ahead and cue them in. Hold on in, everybody. Okay. So we have our guest from Colorado Springs. Hey, Julie, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then each one of you introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself if you can.
Okay, sure. Yeah, hi. My name is Julie Clark, and I am living in Colorado Springs. It's been about almost 2 years here, and I've just been involved in a situation here that has pretty much astounded me and really made me open my eyes to the corruption that is happening all over the world, but especially here in Colorado Springs. And it's just been very disturbing. And so I couldn't help but get involved because these are people that I care about. And, you know, it's hard to turn a blind eye to these kind of things. So I feel like I'm very new to this, and I'm quite young and not as knowledgeable as you all, but I've been learning a lot, and so hopefully we can talk about how what we've been doing in the last few months.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
yeah.
And we will get to that. And go ahead, and I'll have Robert Remmel come on. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey. Yes, this is retired Chief Master Sergeant Robert Remmel from the United States Air Force. I go by Barney. And we've known the lady that we're trying to help out, Son Baldwin, and her husband, Dana, for over 28 years. We've been dear friends. Dana was the equivalent of chief master sergeant. He was a command sergeant major in the United States Army, also retired. Dana was a victim of Alzheimer's and Agent Orange from Vietnam. Barney Rummel, that's talking, was one of the guys that used to load Agent Orange on the airplanes to go out and drop it in Vietnam. So we
wow.
had so much in common, and a mutual friendship of our military years. And in 2018, as Dana succumbed to Alzheimer's and Agent Orange, he was put in an Alzheimer's facility. People that we don't want to say very much, it would get us in trouble, but they were rather unethical because they went and got the judge to assign them as the guardian and fiduciary, two different folks. The next thing you know, Son Baldwin was confined. She was shuttled back and forth between Colorado and North Carolina. She was in at least five facilities over a 7 or 8 month period. She used to call myself or my wife almost on a daily basis. asking for help, asking us to try and help her get out of there. She eventually, when they took her to North Carolina, she broke a window and escaped from the facility, all in a police report. She was confined to Cape Fear Hospital near a military base. They evaluated her and found nothing wrong, so they transferred her to assisted living called Brookdale Pinehurst, also near the military base at Fort Bragg. Sun continued to call on a virtually daily basis until July of last year, when she called and said, "I'm back. I'm back in Colorado." When we heard that, we were elated. We told her we would come and see her, but at the same time we were telling her that, we heard a female voice yelling and screaming at her, asking, "Where did you get that phone? Give me that phone." Sun resisted. She screamed. The phone went dead. I called the police department, asked for help. There was no help because she was under the guidance and auspices of a court-appointed guardian. And since then, it's been a virtual nightmare because Sun and Dana Baldwin were very well off. Her entire house contents were removed, sold at an estate sale. The house was just sold as recently as 2 weeks ago. And at this point, we have no idea where she is, although Neft, that you will talk about, talk with a bit later, and Ron sitting here next to, Dawn, sitting here next to me have similar stories. So it's just an absolute tragedy that the court would appoint somebody to care for people, and then they would rob and steal everything that those folks have and take advantage of them.
Very well said. And, you know, I absolutely agree with you. That's why we've done 4 years of radio on this. It's a very important topic. And you really don't, you think you're in it alone for a very long amount of time yourself. You don't realize that there's thousands of other victims out there. So I absolutely agree with you. And thank you for sharing that part so much with us. And we're probably going to get back to that. And then I want to introduce Don. Is Don Nelson with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. And you got involved the same way?
Well, I got involved because I knew Gary when he moved to Colorado around the beginning of 2018. And we became friends. We used to talk quite a bit. And he loved to play a game called pickleball, and I was playing pickleball too, and so we played pickleball a lot together. He also had a friend named Neft who drove him to the Flying Horse Club where he played pickleball a lot, and we laughed. We had a good time. We actually enjoyed dinner at Gary's house quite often, and Neft, his provider, was an excellent cook, very healthy cook, and you could tell that Gary was very healthy, very happy, and he had a really good life. I believe he was around 89 years old at the time. I saw that he was capable of handling himself. He would make all the payments on his bills. He could do his taxes. He was mentally competent in every way that I can tell. Yeah, he was 89 years old, so he's a little bit slow in some ways, but I would not consider him incapacitated in any way. But over the time that I knew him, I saw what happened, and it was unbelievable to me. I thought I could always trust the courts and everyone involved. I didn't know the process, but what happened was Adult Protective Services got involved, and eventually the court got involved, and they appointed a conservator and guardians. They had him tested and determined that he was incompetent, and that started the downfall for Gary from there on. Once he became competent, he lost all of his civil rights. He was considered incapable of making any decisions. So what they did, they started taking everything away from him. They took away his Social Security. They took away income from investment properties. They liquidated his life insurance policy. And to make things worse, they removed him from his house that was free and clear, worth over $650,000. They sold it for $700,000, and they gave no accounting of the monies, where they took it, what they paid for. And after they took everything away from him, they didn't get money to even live on. So he was actually out in the street begging for food, and here's a guy that was worth over $1 million. It's like, what the heck's going on? And then to make things worse, they removed him from his house, like I said. Then they sold the house, put him in a nursing facility. And I was able to see him one day when I went for a visit. He was also denied any visitation from his friends, except I snuck in because I had a birthday present for him, and they let me in. And the Gary that I saw laying in bed that day was a different person. He wasn't talkative. He was almost unconscious. I guess his hearing aid went bad. They didn't even buy a battery for his hearing aid, so I went and bought one, brought it to him so he could hear. Then he sat up, and we began conversing, but he was very slow to speech. I believe he looked like he was being drugged, but he sat up, and he pointed across the room to his suitcase, and he said, "I want to go home." It's like, what is going on? Why is he being held as a prisoner? But over this time, I found that the court system is very well protected by their own laws that guard and protect the guardians and the conservators, not the person that is considered the ward or the people that are being taken care of. So I think my bottom line is we need to see some changes in the laws. And I think that's something that Rick Black is going to talk about, what we need to do. We have a lot of people with very good stories about the same thing, but what do we do about it? Because all exactly. The judges, conservators, guardians, they're all protected by the laws that are, you know, making things miserable right. For other people.
Okay,
so
and I want to back
really,
you up. Hold on a second. I want to back to that. The person you're talking about, in that is in the article called The Perfect Crime, and his name is Gary Cummings. So if you want to go into that article, it is through the Colorado INDY, Pam Zubak, the journalist. She's the one who did that six-page article. It's a beautiful article, by the way, and it hit national audience out there with all of our advocates passing around in every direction. So that's the Gary Cummings that they are talking about in that story. So go ahead. I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, well, in that article, there's a person named Joe, and that's a disguised name for Gary Cummings. So if you read that article, that's what happened to Gary. And also KRDO did a very good story on Gary Cummings, actually showed pictures, interviewed people, and showed Gary kind of before and after. So if anybody wants to see that, look up KRDO.com, Gary Cummings story, and there was a very good article written by Stephanie Sierra. So, the article's name, Vulnerable Voices, Apparent Elder Abuse to the Eyes of Gary Cummings. Okay, but anyway, my biggest direction right now is to get a change in the laws. And I think we may need to go to state capitol to do that, and I think Rick Black is going to be talking about that this weekend. So along with the movie, he'll be discussing what we need to do next.
Right, yes. And we also have the Guardianship movie coming out. Now, we still have one more advocate out there. There's Neff. And Neff can come on and tell us about how you got involved. But don't talk about the Gary Cummings case because you're not allowed to do that. And we want all these people to know in the courts and all that you are not going to be talking about the Gary Cummings case whatsoever. You can talk about any other advocate, but not that one, okay? So we just want to keep you safe.
Yes, I'm here.
Good.
I know everything.
I know every single detail because I was with him from day one when they took him away.
Right.
That's the reason why they want to silence me, because they don't want to know the truth.
Right.
That's
and see,
the reason
that's...
why they silence me, because they don't want to do, they don't want to know what really happened.
Right. And they
and
do
they
that. And I'm going to tell you right now, Neff, that we have probably at least 5 or 10 families that have come to us that were not able to talk about their cases because they put, what is it called, Robin? Are you with me?
Restraining orders.
Restraining orders.
Restraining orders. They go ahead and they put in clauses to where you're not allowed to talk about the case. We had one lady with a $5 million thing against her, saying if she said one word about her brother Ed, she would get in trouble with contempt of court. So we know how the courts are silencing people. I know how that is. So that's what they've done to you, and that's why we're going to try to – go ahead.
Is that legal? Is that legal to do?
Well,
because this is – we have freedom of speech and freedom of press. And we are not a dictatorship of a country or an oppressive country. So how legal is that for anyone to do that to any human being living in the United States?
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, excuse me, but these courts can get away with that. Go ahead.
Can I address that?
Sure.
In a court, the idea is that the court wants to control the flow of information to be able to maintain objectivity and to maintain the presentation of a case, to maintain the integrity of a case, so that they can rule properly on the case, on the merits of the case. Without dealing with things like public pressure or those kinds of things. Sadly, what we see is oftentimes it in the case of court corruption or in the case of corrupt actors who are bringing these things into court, what the effect of that can be is that when you'll get I call it a cabal of attorneys that are working together on a case, and in my eyes they're doing criminal activity. That's what it looks like to me, simply because they're doing the same kind of thing that if I were doing those things, I would expect to be prosecuted as a criminal, because it looks like criminality to me. So when I see that kind of thing, when I see taking someone out of their home, isolating them from their friends and loved ones, cutting them off from contact with everybody, drugging them, putting them into an institution where they do not wish to be, and controlling their life, draining their bank accounts, selling off their property, taking all of that money and God knows where it goes. You know, these things look to me like criminal racketeering. So that's what I see it as, and that's what I will call it, because it sure looks like it to me. Now, the problem is that when you have a court where this is going on, oftentimes it would appear that the court is protecting the perpetrators of those crimes, because they're authorized somehow to do those things by the man in the black robe, and I don't get it. I don't see why a person who puts on a black robe is suddenly empowered to make a crime that would be a crime if I did it suddenly not a crime, so that whoever's doing it can just rob that person, lock them up, for God's sake, kill them when they're finished draining them down, when they're not worth as much anymore, when the most profitable thing is to open that bed up for the next victim, then they kill them. And I mean kill them. I mean put them down. Call hospice, have some people working with hospice. There are also unscrupulous criminals who will administer a shot and that will kill that person,
or administer the pills to kill that person, and then you're done with that one and cremate the body so that no one can prove that there was criminal abuse going on the whole time. Now, that's the way, that's how I see it, but, you know, I'm calling it the way I see it.
Right. So we have I want to hold on a second, everybody. We have some background noise going on. We have a lot of people on this call, so if you're not going to speak, please mute your phones so we can keep this tape very clear so we can pass it around. Okay, so make sure you mute your phones if you're not going to speak. Go ahead. Who is coming on next? And can you pronounce your name one by one? Whoever comes on first, please say what your name is so we can kind of keep an idea who is speaking. Okay.
Luann, this is Marcy. I just wanted to ask one question.
Okay.
Aren't judges officers of the law? So are they immune to ignore abuse, neglect, fraud, and isolation? That's a question that I have. I wonder how everybody else feels about that.
Right. It's a good question.
This is Julie. Can I say something about what I know?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, go
okay,
ahead.
So, yes. You know, it does seem incredulous that, you know, Neff is not allowed to speak, and it did seem like they're, you know, suppressing his First Amendment rights. And how they are doing this is under the guise of saying that Gary is a silent patient and that he is a protected person and that we are causing a lot of distress in his life by disseminating information and all these things. So the judge has ruled that the documents and everything has been sealed, even so that not even Neff, who is a part of this case, is not allowed to get a copy of the documents. To me, that's like ridiculous and unbelievable, but it is under the law that, you know, they're saying that Gary is distressed and he deserves to have his privacy, and so they're sealing it. So he's not allowed to speak about it. He's not allowed to get any information about his own case, which we find is absolutely ridiculous, and so do his lawyers, and so does so the news agencies, everybody who's been trying to get information and have not been able to under the freedom of speech law, they haven't been able to get very much information. So, you know, we are relying a lot on the information that we already have and also what Gary himself has told us very openly before he went in because he was so frightened that he pretty much grabbed anybody that would listen and begged for our help. And so that is how I got involved because he was so desperate. They were very open in their home. Neff was not isolating him whatsoever. I find it very suspicious that he has been isolated by people who are accusing of abuse when they are themselves are isolating. And they're hiding something. You know, it's very obvious that they're hiding something. So, you know, and they're allowed to do this. And to me, that's just ridiculous. So
right.
I just wanted to let you know, clarify why they are allowed to do that.
Right.
Wow. You're exactly right, though. Yeah. Go ahead. Is that yours?
It is.
Hold on.
I've never, ever in my life heard of gag orders besides in high-profile cases with government personnel, you know, with the president, this, that, and the other, with trials. But, of course, this is their modus operandi. This is what they do. They turn everything around, and the gag orders are great because people are scared that there'll be sanctions put down and they'll have to pay. But, again, if you're doing the right thing, why would you have anything to hide? When you're sealing records and there's nothing to do with health issues with HIPAA or anything to do with the person's bank account or anything financial, there is really that it's shady. Period, the end. Not allowing visitors. It's absolutely one word. It is corruption.
Absolutely. So that's the next question we want
to
ask.
Say,
go ahead.
My mother used to say, Lies hide, the truth comes out and speaks the truth. And that's exactly right. If you don't have anything to hide, you don't conceal, and you don't isolate. If you have something to hide, then you isolate and you conceal. And to me, that is plain common sense upbringing that I had from my own mother who's been isolated. So I think you guys are all right about that.
Yeah, exactly. And the next question I want to talk about is how a lot of advocates have been asking me, how did you get the article in the Colorado Indy? I mean, everybody asked, it's so hard to get articles done. How were you able to do that? I mean, did you guys all come together, talk about the next plan, or how did that all work out? Julie, how about you? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Originally I had sent out, or several of us had reached out to a lot of different news agencies and newspapers, and finally we got connected with Pam. She was one of the only ones who was willing. There was someone else, but he got gagged and so was unable to move forward with the news story. He kind of referred us to Pam, saying that she was a bit of a bulldog and that she would get the job done, and she sure did. So we, several of us got together and were able to speak with her, and I think that she did an outstanding job on the article, just exposing not only what's happening in Colorado Springs, but all over the nation.
Yeah, that was quite an article. That was absolutely a brilliant article. She did a very good job because she's not only exposed it in Colorado Springs, but she exposed it nationally, which is, she did a really good job on it.
Yeah,
I agree. It was really, really good. And it's so difficult to get the media involved. And it really is a fight. It was the end all was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then we also got Stephanie Sierra of KRDO to do a story, and maybe, Luann, you could link these on your website or something, and that was very helpful just to be able to see visually, you know, how healthy he was and how active Gary was, and the quick decline that he had, but I think that, you know, just seeing it on television made an impact on the community, because I know that she got a lot of feedback. So hopefully, I'm very hopeful that it'll connect us to other victims in this area so that we can have more of a force, you know, in moving forward and making some changes around here.
Right, yeah.
What I see, Robin, one of the things that I see is that one of the problems that advocates like us have is to bring forward these stories, and one of the reasons is that that people who know about it can be gagged oftentimes, and if you're not there at the beginning and the person is able to talk to you, then once they're isolated, it's hard to get to them to get that story, and the people that know it can be very few, and if it's one or two people that really know what's going on, and a judge tells them, you're going to owe $5 million to this court if you tell anybody about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a very effective way to squash the people that know what's going on, that would tell you, that would like to tell you, that want the story known, because they see this is corruption. These people are doing wicked, wicked, evil things, and they shouldn't be getting away with it. But then, you know, you put somebody under threat, under duress, it's like, then you've got I hate to liken it to anything, but it's like a criminal who breaks into your house, robs you, beats you up, and then says, if you go to the police, I have your address, I have your phone number, I have all your contact information. You don't know anything about me, but I'll make sure that you get more of the same, you know, and I'll go come after your kids. I'll come after your parents. I'll come after everybody in your family. And so, you know, it's that kind of brutality that is keeping these things under wraps
rather effectively, I'm afraid. I mean, it's sad to say, but it's really difficult to get these stories told. I know, because we've been trying, and it's and we've seen those courageous individuals who stepped up and said, "I will tell your story," and then we've seen them get quashed by corporate lawyers that said, "You're not going to tell it through our newspaper. You're not going to tell it through our television station because we'll be sued, and we're not going to allow that to happen." And you know, it takes incredible courage and tenacity and determination to find a way to get these stories out there. I'm really grateful to those news people that were courageous enough to tell these stories. I'm really grateful to those advocates that were dogged and determined enough to get these stories out there to those news agencies and get them told, because this is not an easy thing to do, and it's far, 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 far more common than people would think because of the number of stories out there, because no one can tell the stories. When you've been locked up and you can't talk to anyone, you can't even tell your own family, "Hey, this is where I'm at, this is what they're doing to me, and can you please help?" You can't tell anybody right. anything because you're isolated. It's horrifying.
So do any of you know where Gary Cummings is right now? Huh?
No, none of us know where he is right now. After we had found him at one of the this is Julie. So after we found him at one of the facilities, like as Don said, they moved him the next day? Within a couple of days they moved him. He looked really settled in there, but they moved him just like that. So
there was rumors. Go ahead.
Robert Rumble again. Who was that last gentleman that was speaking right before you started to ask questions?
That was Robin Austin.
Oh, okay. I need to get in touch with him after. If I may just make one or two other comments, but as Julie just said. Okay. Well, as Julie just said, the exact same thing happened to our friend's son, Baldwin, when they took her from Colorado originally. They took her back to North Carolina. They moved her three times within 2 months in North Carolina, although she was able to get a phone and call me almost on a daily basis. Then they relocated her back here to Colorado. But I can assure you, and with Robin, perseverance is the other thing that needs to be added to that list that he mentioned. Because I called Governor Cooper in North Carolina, got to speak to his military liaison, called the mayor back at Pinehurst, where our friend was staying, called the chief of police back there. Since she came back here to Colorado, called the mayor's office, District Attorney Dan Mays, Sheriff's Department Bill Elder. They all stonewall you. They all stonewall you because they're I guess they don't want to rock the boat. But, yes, they will move the individual as many times as necessary just to keep the family, the friends, the loved ones from communicating with them. And then they will not tell you where they are. They just won't tell you.
You know, you are so right on about what you just said because, you know, that happened kind of to my mom. I mean, she was taken away for 3.5 years, and my brother had her, but the guardians would not let us know where she was. And they let him take her away from us. They didn't mind that at all because they had the money. They did not mind. You know, and it's so sad that people are played against their families like that. These attorneys exactly know what's going on. These judges know exactly what's going on. These people know what's going on, but they all have an eye on the prize, and that's the money what these people have. To me, it's criminal, you know. So that's what I'm saying. The Netflix movie that just came out, the Perfect Crime, you know, article that came out, oh, my God, this is some huge stuff going on, people, that we as advocates are finally Rick Black, I mean, Marty Oakley, we've got NASDA, we've got Dr. Sam Sugar, we've got our group, we've got radio stations. We are finally getting the word out, okay? Doug Franks, I talked to him quite a bit. And he has a mother named Ernestine Franks that went through the guardianship abuse. So every one of us have suffered the abuse of these guardians or conservators. Every single one of us on this radio show has lost a loved one. I mean, that is, to me, a big sign of like this big virus going around. This is the same kind of thing. This is going to kill you too. And that's what we have to bring out to people, saying that this is just as deadly as that is, you know, if we don't stop this. So I just wanted to put that out there. And that's another question I want to talk to everybody about is, so you guys all got together. How did you do that? Did you see articles on each other? Did you just know each other? How did this all come to be? Any one of you guys? Maybe? Neff, anybody?
This is Robert Rummel again. I had posted something on a blog that I just got by Googling, and then I believe either Julie or Rick Black picked that up, communicated with me, connected me with Neff, and Neff has been an absolute dynamo, okay? So if you don't know him, you're missing a wonderful opportunity. Just tonight, when I met Julie, and I just want to be part of the team because what's happening to each and every one of you is happening to me and my family and friends and our church family and a lot of other people. And here in town, Neff has had us down at the courthouse along with Don Nelson, one of the other gentlemen that was talking with you. We've been passing out flyers. We've been trying to be diplomatic, polite, but persevere. Answer any questions that you legally can do. Make sure that you be straight up front. We have not been bad-mouthing the authorities so much as we've been saying their position. And when that position affects someone's life and their fortune and their health and their sanity, they're going to have to hold me down and tie me to muzzle me. So that's probably my comment.
Well, right, one thing I wanted to add.
Okay, Lynn, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to add is most people that are in Gary's position try to secure their position by putting in power of attorney, a living trust, and what I found out through Gary's case, the judge was able to erase those and remove those people in responsibility. So the people that Gary put into trust were denied any involvement in Gary's case. And I can't believe they did that, but they did. And I believe that judges are afraid to, I mean, the attorney is afraid to say anything because I've heard that they can be debarred and lose their license to practice if they try and stop this. So they're afraid to say anything either. That's how much control they have over the whole thing.
This is Julie again. I'm finding the one factor that is running through all of this is, you know, how are they doing this? It is really through fear, you know, fear tactics. And they're doing this by using the law. And, you know, what I have encountered is that they're not afraid to not tell the truth. They're not afraid to accuse you of things that could get you in trouble and, you know, draw out this process until it's not necessary anymore so that you're kind of put off to the side. And so, you know, I myself am afraid of getting, having repercussions from just speaking out. So far it's been okay, but I just don't know if they'll come knocking at my door next, you know? So, it's a fear. They're using a lot of fear and a lot of threats, and we've got lawyers, you know, sending us letters telling us to back off and telling us never to contact Gary Cummings again, or that we're going to be, we're bordering on being criminal and all these things that are just really, they're just bullying us. So you have to kind of go move forward carefully, but, just have that courage to move forward because a lot of people are suffering, and honestly, they're losing their lives. And so, you know, this is a life and death situation. So, you know, have the courage to move forward.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
you
know,
you said earlier that you were getting threats by attorneys sending you things.
Yes.
No.
Correct.
That is definitely
yes.
one technique that I've seen happen too. And it's, I had that through my mom's case. They were constantly saying they're going to do this to me, they're going to do that to me. And, hey, I was scared. I didn't know anything about any of this. So I
mm-hmm.
absolutely agree with you that they will threaten
mm-hmm.
you. I've had public administrators come on saying you can't say this and you can't say this about this family or this family. I know the games that they play. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it all. And you're exactly right. Fear is big. You know, and there's a lot of people that came on the show that were afraid to give their names. I understand. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
That was me.
Yes.
That was me the first time I called Luann's show. I didn't give my name. I was just so paranoid and nervous. And it's really crazy when we think about it, when you just step aside and you say, oh, my God, growing up, we thought if anything happened, you would go to court and everything would be taken care of. The judge would be impartial and the right outcome would always happen. And that is in probate court, that is not the case. And I always say when you talk about intimidation, I have only been sued, and I'm in my early 50s, I have only been sued twice in my life, and both times I was sued by a for-profit professional guardian in Pinellas County who was arrested recently for theft. But they do that, restraining orders, trespassing orders. We're going to sanction you. We're going to fine, you know, getting knocks on your door and you're being served with paper. But I can tell by listening to you that you know that this is it's a fight. And to have you in the battle, I am grateful because Gary would want you to fight for him and he would fight for you. And I saw the little TV piece. And I saw him playing pickleball, and I saw the gentleman that was helping him with everything, and it's the same modus operandi. There was no, you know, there was no drama. There was no police calls. There was no DCF. You know, everything was calm, but it was about the money. You know, you can't take it personally because in the end, they don't give a shit about you. It's all about the money. But again, I am very, 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 very excited to hear you talking because you are one of us. You are an activist fighting for change, and we're so glad that you're doing that.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes. And I want to add to this intimidation that's going on. Hillary and I were at the summit in Florida City. And the Attorney General of the United States spoke. So did Leanne Conway. And they made it, the whole topic was seniors. That they made it clear that negligence and fraud against seniors were not tolerable. And the Attorney General got up and said, the seniors that have worked all their life to save their money deserve to enjoy their money. That they want people to partner up with them to help them look for people that are neglecting and fraudulently doing crimes to the elders and the seniors. And he was very specific on that.
He was good. But let's be honest. We've got to be honest. They did not mention one word. Guardianship was never mentioned once. Not once. So we have to be honest. Yes. It was never mentioned.
It wasn't mentioned, but negligence, it's negligence. It doesn't matter who does it.
Yes, I agree.
He said that even people that were in the court and people that were officers of the law, if they were doing it, they were going to get reprimanded. So that came from Attorney General and then Leanne Conway. And to me, that is huge because they have set a unit specifically to look for these people, and they wanted those 500 people that were there in the summit to team up with them to help them find these criminals that are doing that to the vulnerable seniors. So to me, that came a long way and gave me a lot of hope.
No, it was empowering. It was, I mean, it was absolutely great.
Right.
It was empowering, and everybody needs to know that. So if you know somebody who's being oppressed, abused, neglected, and like Mr. Carr said, those fraudsters, then you want a letter and let him know because they want to know.
You know, and that's and the more we talk about guardianship abuse, negligence, elderly abuse, no matter what we talk about, it has to get out there. You know, it's wrong
and it
with people to our elderly people. I don't care. Even the disabled people, veterans, what they're doing is criminal. And that's our job is to put it out there. And that's another thing that I wanted to all the
and
everybody on our radio show tonight. You guys are also
–
okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, and this is the last thing I'll say because there's so many other people on your panel who need
to
talk.
No, go ahead.
But what really just – let's keep in mind the coronavirus, you know, and a lot of people have lost their lives, specifically in Washington State. We have a lot of people who have relatives – in nursing facilities, and they cannot visit them. On a bad day, they are not allowed to talk to them on the phone or visit them in person. Don't you think, seeing what's going on with the coronavirus and everyone is in a panic, specifically the elderly are the ones who are susceptible to this disease, flu, whatever pandemic you want to call it. And I think it's an absolute disgrace that people are not allowed to know where their relatives are being held captive, and they are not allowed to speak to them today to say, hey, look, I'm thinking about you. How are you feeling? To check up on their loved ones. I mean, that is, it's insane. It's beyond criminal.
It's beyond criminal. And, you know, everybody knows that my mother just passed away a few weeks ago. And I don't know how, in my heart, I could have had someone else isolate her. There's no way. I had a hard enough time being with my mom in a coma for 5 days. And I thought about all the people that could not visit their loved ones during the whole process. And I literally cried for hours just of that one thought. You know, to hold my mom's hand and to tell her how much I loved her every single day until she passed was one of the best things I ever did and one of the hardest things I ever did. So can you imagine these people with dementia? They're so lost as is that this will be my forever thing I do in my entire life. I'll keep doing these radio shows until I'm 85 years old if I have to. You know, because what
Luann,
they're doing, you know,
it's terrible.
Makes me sick. Yeah.
It's terrible. And not everyone has dementia who is in guardianship.
Marcy and I
visited a woman, and I'll say her name very gladly, and she will allow me to, and has. Her name is Jan Garwood, and she, as we speak, is being held captive in a memory care unit in Longwood, Florida. She's been in guardianship a bit over a year, and I always tell Jan, the few times that we've been able to speak, that if we played a game of Scrabble, she would definitely kick my ass. She's brilliantly smart. So Marcy and I went to visit her. I had asked her, Jan, what would you like me to bring? She said, well, you know, I'll take two big bags of Doritos, roll-on deodorant, and, you know, find a word, books. So she said that's the only thing that keeps her going over the edge. Now, mind you, the only way that Jan, who has tons of money, gets clothes is when one of the patients or residents dies. She gets to go through a garbage bag with their clothes. So we are no more in Jan's room for maybe 2-3 minutes that the warden comes in, the executive director whose daughter brought Jan's home for less than half of what it was worth, and she basically said, get out or we're calling the police. But Jan is if she was incapacitated, I would say she was. She is not. Dad wasn't.
Right. No.
You know, it's about the money, as you know, in the end. But whatever it is, whether you're incapacitated with dementia, it isn't your fault. And just because you have dementia does not mean that you have to be put in a facility when you have family members that are begging to take care of you.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, and that's what happened to me. I took care of my mom. I took care of my mom with dementia for 4 years. It is a hard job, everybody. Caretaking is an extremely hard job, but that's our God-given right. And one of the verses that I heard, and it broke my heart when people were reaching out to me, and I want to read these on the online, and it said, "Hold your mom's hands as she first held you." And there is no place like mom. I tell you what, I cried on those hours listening to those. You know, but it's true. We have the God-given right to take care of our loved ones and our friends. These courts are stripping us of those rights. My next question is, what the hell are we going to do about it as a nation? You know, we have heard the stories. We've heard it all. But you guys gotten articles out there. You've gotten KRDO involved. Next, you're getting the guardianship movie out there. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. So this is Julie again.
Okay.
So we are going to be showing the Guardian movie in Colorado Springs. There are two showings. And you can, you're posting it on your website and your Facebook page,
right.
So that's going to be helpful. But, yeah, it's this Friday and this Sunday. And so that we're just really hoping that it will really raise awareness. And I think that, you know, educating people as much as possible is number one, because so many people who have heard Gary's story do not believe it, you know, at first. They can't believe it. And if they didn't know me, I think that they would have a hard time believing the story, right? So when they are educated and they know what is going on and they understand, then it becomes more of an issue and it becomes more personal, and so they are more willing to do something about it. And that's what we need, is we need more people, because we can't do this on our own. You know, we're being shut down left, right, and center. So, and the news are being shut down as well, so that's why they're so afraid of being involved. So we've got to educate, so more showings that we can do, and just talk to as many people as possible. And what Barney and Nest and Don have been doing, going to the courthouse and passing out information, I think is just vital. And so continue to educate, you know, and fight on.
Right. What was the response there at the courthouse? Can any of you talk about that?
Well, that was kind of interesting, too. We were sitting in front of the courthouse waiting for people who were interested or get attention and receive a flyer and a paper that we had on the table. But what I found out was kind of interesting. The people that looked professional, like attorneys, would just ignore us and walk by quickly. But those people who were economically challenged were the ones that seemed to be interested in listening to the story and telling their own story about what happened. So, yeah, I think that the court system expects the people that have the authority or power to do anything about it to just ignore it. And those people who can do anything about it that have been abused aren't going to be able to do anything about it anyway, because you can't even hire an attorney. So
They're
really relying on, let's say, lack of funds or lack of education, and know that people that are in prestigious positions aren't going to do anything about it. That's what I've found. So I would really like to know what we can do. That should be the most important thing in the next step now.
Well, I know
I
one thing.
Write to the United States, to the Attorney General, and let him know what is going on, because he said negligence and fraud against the elder is not tolerable. It doesn't matter whether it's in guardianship or whatever. It's not tolerable, and so you need to let them know. And I think that we all need to write them a letter and say, this is what's going on. This is bigger than
letter,
you guys think it is.
I wrote a letter to Donald Trump, but I tried to present it at his campaign here, and I couldn't get in. There's just too many people there. If anybody knows an address to send it to, I'd be happy to send it to him.
Right.
I have someone that you can send it to. I'll try to get you her
her address. And okay, she's very open.
Yeah,
she's one of the head campaign managers.
Right.
And
so
she's one of the campaign managers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are also, I'll get that information posted out there on the website, up on Facebook. It's Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards Face Us. And you can come join that group, and you can learn about everything that we talk about on there if you want. I also have my website, I think, up. I'm not sure. It's called www.faceus.org. I haven't been there for a while. I've been too busy with everything else. But I want to let everybody know we're going to start taking calls in. And the number that you do that is you pick up your phone and you call in 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962, you press a 1, and you can ask a question or a comment. Anything that you want to ask is fine with us. And if they're able to answer that, that's good too. So I want everybody to know that. Another question I have is, so the guardianship movie is coming out on March 13th and March 15th out here in Colorado. I'll be posting that more on our site. And we also have Rick Black. He's coming out with his wife. He should be staying there with us for 3 days, I think it is, down in Colorado Springs. And I think we have Athena Rowe is going to be in, too. She wrote the book, Name of Robbed. She was robbed by them down there, same place. And then, of course, our group, I'll be with Cliff Batista, and he's original Faceless Advocate. And then, of course, me, I'll be down there. We'll be speaking on this and helping out anybody that needs any direction what to do next. But I think the most common thing, the best thing we have to do right now, everybody, is we have to start working it together. I will be down there in a few days, and I think we have all that Saturday and all that night what we can actually do to start really getting some bigger movement out here in Colorado and in the other nations as well as in the other states. I have a call on scale 3. Let's see who this one is. 303, question or comment? 303. Anybody want to talk? Okay, probably not. Okay,
hello?
So we're going to go ahead. Go ahead, let me see if you're on there. Hold on a second. 303? Hold on. 303, your live question or comment? Okay, hold on. I know, it's not coming on. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and just not worry about that call. So here's one, 970. Let's go ahead and take this caller. 970, you're live on the air.
Hi.
Question or comment?
Hi, Robin. This is Denny.
Who's this?
Hi, Denny.
Yeah.
Denny.
Hi, Denny.
You got
yeah,
hey,
go ahead.
Here's something we can do. 100,000 signatures in 30 days. Will initiate a mandate for the White House to investigate this. So if we all get on the same page, and with this huge article and the news news coverage with, what is it, KRDO?
Yeah.
I think it's real possible. And if we strategically did it, I'm sure if some of us went to Trump rallies and had a booth set up, I'm sure we could get tons of signatures. But it would have to be a real coordinated effort. But it is available to us to really come through on it in a big way. So that's the probably the most impactful thing we can do with the recent break we've had with the news media, because we aren't going to get many breaks like that. So. And I guess the other comment would be is just that communism has taken over our courts. They can confiscate our parents' property. My dad's judge literally stated in court, he told me that my dad's property was the court's property. The Adult Protective Services told me the same thing. They can take our parents. They can kill them. They can, in my case, they tried to frame me for my dad's murder. They're
right.
Giving me death threats now for trying to take it to federal court, my dad's probate case.
Yeah.
I've been chased down by a vehicle recently. I had to run on foot for my life. we've had people show up at a place they thought I was living, pounding on the door, demanding everybody come outside. And somebody in the house took a picture, and another man got out, demanded they bring the camera down. And thankfully, those people didn't get out of the house. But I mean, it is just insane. It's crazy. But the communists have taken over our courts. They're rogue
yeah.
government workers, and communism is here. It is here. That there's
right.
It's evil. It's wrong. When they can take your parent and hold them hostage, and just do these devastating things, and then kill them. And then try to frame you for murdering your own parent
right.
when you're the one standing up for them, and they're yanked out of your life, and it's just I literally have to live my life like a fugitive. I have
yeah.
To be careful
so I have someone asking you, who are the people that were banging on the door?
We don't know. It was two males. And they showed up in the same, get this, they showed up in the same exact model of the van the family had. And it was on a day they knew I wasn't at work. And,
wow.
But they it's a house they think I lived at. So, I had an 89-year-old lady, my mom's best friend. They've apparently threatened her because she's leaving messages trying to find where I live. She has mm-hmm. my phone number, and she's sitting there lying, saying, I have no way to get hold of him, and, you know, casting doubt in my friends' lives. I've lost friend after friend after friend.
Right. Hey,
and
Denny, did you read the article,
the
Perfect Crime? Right. Did you read the article, The Perfect Crime?
I saw the newscast, and I've read parts of it. I have never gotten the full article. No, I read a bunch of it. Actually, I did read a bunch of it when it came out. I forgot. I did find it online. And it's just another, another deal. My dad couldn't fire his attorney because then the judge said, oh, well, you can't fire your attorney because now I'm going to deem you 100% incompetent. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
really?
That's so wrong. Right. And Danny, you're 100% right that we are in a communist country. I do believe that, and I understand exactly where you come from because I knew your dad. He was a wonderful man. Oh my God, he was awesome, Melton. He was an awesome man, and it really disturbs me that, you know, he suffered a heart attack and they finished him off. Basically, is how I look at it. And to me, I'll keep speaking of your dad, Melton, for the rest of my life. What happened to him? But
the doctor said my dad would live another 2 to 3 years, maybe longer, with his set being reopened. No pain whatsoever. And as soon as they took over, put him on hospice, and of course they tried to frame me for the murder, mm-hmm. and they poisoned him, made him suffer to death from what
right.
I was told. And I didn't know where he was, and it was too dangerous for me to even attempt to go see him because
right.
they were trying to frame me. So. They secretly took my visitation rights.
Yeah.
I have that phone call recorded with the detective. So they use law enforcement.
You know what,
I
want to let our viewers know, Danny, that we have had a federal FBI on this case for 4 years. You documented everything for 4 years. I bet there's like at least 4 years. And you know what? The FBI never did nothing. I want everybody to know that. Everybody thinks, get the FBI involved. Why haven't they done anything? That's the big question we have on tonight. Okay, so I want to leave that with everybody. If they think, let's go to the FBI. You know what? We've been there, done that one too, right?
Yeah.
So we haven't heard much
And it really depends, on the agent you speak with. I've spoken with several agents, and you can just tell they're on the take. They're on the other side. And
they're not helping. They're not helping. So I want everybody to really think about that. So don't think you're going to go to the FBI unless you get the news media involved. You get the all these people have to come together at one time like they did in the April Parks case, and then you can have a buzz. But until then, you're wasting your time. Anyway, Danny, we're going to move on to the next caller. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Love you guys.
Yeah, I love you too.
God bless you.
Okay, 303 number, did you want to come back on the air and have something to say?
Thank you. To address Robin's eloquent statement tonight, this is an example of what's going on. You can read the Minneapolis Post, minnpost.com. Talks about law firms that are emerging. We're talking $400 million, $500 million. We are property. We are money. They want us. They've got us as property. Then you have the attorneys inside those large firms that are now merging around the country to be the largest. And then they, what they do is that they help elect or hold key positions as appointed officials, for example, in Minnesota, a state legislator, commerce commissioner, a Supreme Court justice, former Minnesota House Speaker, county attorney, former state attorney. These are the people that we are interacting with in our own state that we are up against.
You're right. You're exactly right. And you know what? We some of these officials we can elect out, like the judges in Colorado, you guys. That's what we need to do. Is and I'm going to talk back to Julie and all them down there in Colorado Springs. We can vote these judges out. That needs to be one of our agendas that we do this next time that they come. The judges come up for election, and when in doubt, vote them out. If you know they are not good and they're up for retention. So that's another thing that we can do to have a voice in all of that. But that's good that you mentioned that. That's really good. Appreciate you coming on. Do you have any more to say?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So Julie and everybody down there, we are going to be doing the guardianship movie again. And I'm really excited about this. I've never met Rick Black and his wife. I only met Neff. So I think us coming together, we can have a lot of strategies that we can do. Anybody else have anything they want to say or add to it? Go ahead.
Well, I want to mention that I did try to go to some authorities. I went to Corey Gardner's office, spoke to the secretary, gave her the case, and she said they could do nothing about it. I went to Adult Protective Services, and they just ignored me. I went to the Attorney General. He just referred me to somewhere else that couldn't help me either. So it's hard to find help. It really is almost impossible.
I agree with you. I think, Robin, you talk on that one.
I just wanted to say, Luann and I understand exactly what you're talking about because we have had meetings with the Colorado Attorney General, we went to the police stations in several different counties. We went to Adult Protective Services in several different counties. We went to, we went to senators and congressmen. We talked to everyone you can think of. If you name somebody that is in a position of lawmaking or enforcing authority, we went and talked to them, and including the FBI. And out of all that, we came up with a big Zippo, pretty much. The ones that have helped us were the news people who are in the news, and we had some courageous news people that tried to help us, some that were able to publish stories, and some that tried to publish stories. And you know, God bless them for doing their best, because it wasn't their fault that they got shut down. But they got shut down. And it is extremely difficult to get help. And it does take incredible perseverance. That is a word that you're absolutely right on that one. That is a word we need to use here, because we've been at this for, gosh, I don't know, 10 years?
He's been in it for 10 years, you guys. 10 years I've been dealing with public administrators. I just got released maybe from being in the guardianship because my mom passed away. I had to fill out all the guardianship papers to do that. We'll see if they release me. But I've been in this for 10 years. I still have a public administrator that has to go do my case with my mother. Hopefully she doesn't take another year or two to end this. Please, she'll end it real quickly. You know, and I just
can
I
ask,
walked out of the whole court thing, huh?
Can I ask a question? So,
sure.
I guess in your area, Luann, were you and Gary, I believe the gentleman that his whereabouts is unknown in guardianship, how many wards are there? How many open guardianship cases are there in either the state of Colorado, a guesstimate, or where you are, your area?
The last time I checked with Senator Laura Woods, and this was a couple years ago, there was something like 16,500.
In the state of
that
Colorado?
Was, yeah, 16,500.
That's a lot.
And I was like,
yes,
yeah. Yeah, and you know what they said? The Bar Association came in that meeting and they said, oh, that's not that many people. There's 5 million people here or something like that. And I'm like, 16,000 under guardianship? You know how much money that is? But like me, we had 28 families that came forward, and I did an estimate about the value of the estate. And it was something like $62 million that went through the courts. Only $5 million was returned to the family, and one of them was like $3 million. And they're still fighting that in court. But it cost these people $5 million just to get what was originally theirs in the first place. Out of all that money,
the
money that was returned was about $2 million to everybody. That's
nothing.
A lot of money.
Absolutely nothing.
People
and in
got
Colorado,
ripped.
In Colorado,
and that's
is
the
60 the same,
cases that we were able to document.
Right.
Right. Those
is
are the
it
ones
the
that
same,
would come forward.
Yeah,
right.
And a lot of people, it's a very private situation, and people, you know, aren't really apt to share until you say, I've been through it as well. Is it the same group of conservators, I think you call the guardians in Colorado?
Yes. Yeah, I have the same group of them, and these guardians and conservators are mentioned quite a few times. There's probably about, I would say, a good 40 to 50 attorneys that I know of that are involved in this. Same names that keep coming up. And when a family comes to me in Colorado, I'll say, give me one name of one attorney, and I can tell you what's going on about your whole case. Nine times out of ten, it's the same attorneys that are creating the problems. So that's what I want to talk to our clan down there. We do have over 60 families involved now in Colorado that I've documented. And I still have 10 more sitting on my desk that I just look at saying, oh, my God, how am I going to have time to put these in there too? But I
and
just
those
want
are
to
the
know,
ones I said that mm-hmm. were willing to come forward and share their stories with us. There were – for every one that was willing to come forward and share their story, there were three or four that said, look, I'm too frightened to tell you all the details. I can tell you, but I'm too frightened to share any of this. They've got my mother. They've got my father. They've got my daughter. I can't risk anybody finding out that I'm talking because they can hurt them. They can hurt their hostage. That is my loved one, that you hurt my daughter, they can hurt my mother, and they will. These people are unscrupulous. It is too frightening for me to bring forward anything to you. Please do what you can, but I can't help you. It's too dangerous for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And they did that to me. They did that to me with my mother. The public administrator and the guardians were talking about putting my mom in a state hospital. I was so freaked out over that. I fought against it. And somehow my brother that had her took her to Florida, and then I had to go fight that out in Florida. But my dearest mother got remarried at 85 years old. Can you believe that? She got remarried. I had a two-step dad at 85 years old. I met him. I went down there. I brought my mom back home, and I got to keep her for 8 more years until she passed away 2 weeks ago.
And when this whole thing started,
I recall one of these stories. Luann,
do you recall when this whole thing started that you too were one that was very afraid, and we actually did some protests and did some actions and went and talked to the legislature with certain people in masks so that they could not be identified because their loved ones were in jeopardy if they were identified by these bad actors that were holding them.
Yeah, I wore a warrior mask. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? If you have to do that, make sure that you get okays from wherever you're picketing or whatever. But wear a mask. Do whatever you got to do to bring attention to what you got to talk about. And then I went from that one day when they started exposing my name as Luann Fleming and all this, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not hiding it anymore. I don't care what it is. I am speaking the truth, what's happening to my family and how we got robbed and how we have a public administrators in there and how we have guardians and how we have considerers, all who sold our assets. And that's exactly what they did. You know, when they come in and they take all your property and they sell it for cheap, and then you go ahead and all your family's evicted from their homes, something's wrong with that system. You know, and the whole time you're trying to guard your mother, you're trying to take care of her. But you know what? I forever is going to always speak about how wrong this is. This will never end. And my mother, Marion Jane Price Levin, will always be mentioned in there as one of the warrior mothers that went out naturally. She was never drugged. I did not let hospice come in there and drug her. And by the way, I want to tell everybody, we are getting some advocates from Denver Hospice that will be coming on our radio show to talk about how hospice is supposed to be running, how there's players coming in with other hospices that have bad names. And these guardians are working with those hospices, by the way. I do have connections with that. So I'm learning more and more about how the system is run, now, which is really good for us to do that. But I want everybody to know that. Anybody else have anything else they want to say tonight?
I'm so proud of you, Luann, and your mother is dancing in heaven with your dad looking over you and saying, my daughter is kicking A for all the other victims tonight, and you were very, very a big part of my healing. But when I came to the show 2 years ago, I was floored, and you came to my house, and you and Robin lifted my soul and helped me through this, and I've seen so many changes, and I really think that with hope and positive people around us to try to create change, God will put the right people in our path as he has been doing. And I really believe that God is in charge, and no evil can beat him.
Right.
So I'm very grateful.
Oh. Yeah, thank you guys. You know, you guys have been, hold on a second. You guys have been my co-hosts now for quite a while, and I'm just so grateful for you guys, too. You guys have just been down there in Florida. You guys have been working with Doug Franks and Dr. Sam Sugar, and all of you have been coming together, and you guys are a really good team down there now. You know, I've interviewed a lot of people on my radio show, and anybody, please, go to Netflix. You can get on there a 7-day free pass. Get on there, go to season 2, Dirty Money on Netflix. It's called Guardians, Inc., INC. And I've been watching Phil Ross on there, who just came on our radio show last week. He's the attorney for the Charlie Thrash case and many other cases out there. He did an excellent job, along with Lisa. She is also Bellinger. She is also on, I think she's in Michigan? No, it's not Michigan.
Massachusetts.
It is Massachusetts. Yeah. She was on there. She's in another attorney where they are trying to take away her license, but she exposed them incredibly well on Netflix. I mean, I get to see all these people that I've been talking to.
And
it's just
the Dirty Money
awesome.
Episode as well. Ms. Bellinger is in the Dirty Money episode as well.
Yes, absolutely. And she does a fantastic job along with
Attorney Fox. And it's almost an hour long. I mean, I can't wait. I'm going to watch it after the show tonight. I mean, this is great.
Too.
When things are coming out. And again, if anyone can call me if they have any questions, if I can help, whatever it is, I will do as well as any of us on this show tonight. So onward and upward.
There you go.
That's right.
So, Julie or any of you down there, so So the showing is this weekend. What do we want to accomplish? What do we want to get done?
Maybe get some signatures. Have some of the past people sign. I think it'd be a good idea to be at the presentation of the Guardian and get signatures. If we need 100,000 signatures, maybe that would do the trick.
Right. And I'm also going to have where we could get emails and where we're going to get people's contact numbers. So if any of those people want to help us here in Colorado, we will have their emails, and then I'll get a big, long chain. I'll add them to my list of the radio shows and the radio stations, and I will keep a list of all the people that we're going to be signing up. And I know there's going to be a lot of people pissed off once they watch that Guardian movie, once they see the stories of Gary Cummings and all those advocates get out there, especially with Rick Black and his wife and their powerful story, and the Gary Cummings story, and then this new Netflix coming out and all the articles we're having. We're doing some really good progress. We are. You know, I've seen
definitely.
It how it was 6 years ago when I first called Dr. Sam Sugar, and he goes, I'm not sure what's take, and look what's happened, you know, in 5 or 6 years. A lot has happened.
Uh-huh.
But it's not over yet.
Thanks.
It's
part
still happening.
You and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Robin and I used to do faceless radio shows at McDonald's. We used to do those, remember?
Yes, I remember. We just were so determined to keep that show going that when our own internet went out, we went to a McDonald's where they had Wi-Fi and did it from there, because we were not going to stop. We were, you know, that's just determination and perseverance. Well, we're not just talking about it. We are doing it. And that's, you know, we set our mind on changing things. We said, this is not going to stand. We're not going to allow our nation to be a place where our children grow up in courts that rob people instead of defending the just. That's not the court system that I want for my children and grandchildren, or my
right.
neighbors, or my friends, or my parents, or myself. I want to change that court system to make it into what it ought to be, to make it just and fair and righteous, not a den of thieves and crooks that rob, murder, steal, and run a protection racket. That's not what a
right.
court is supposed to be. So we have a lot of determination about that, and I'm absolutely determined that whatever it takes, we're going to keep on working at it until we see changes so that we have a more just court system. As God is my witness, we will stand and still stand and still stand and still stand to see these changes happen. And we are seeing
right.
them now. It comes from that kind of determination, which we have had since day one. And I know that, you know, I know that Luann has it too, because I was right next to her when I had to encourage her and say, look, put on a mask if you have to, so no one can identify you, and let's go run this protest and take these signs and hold these people accountable for their crimes. And she said, yes, let's. And she came with me, and we went and stood out in front of the Capitol, in front of the Supreme Court building. We went and talked to the Supreme Court every chance that we were allowed to talk to them. We went and talked to the Judicial Performance Commission when we were allowed to talk to them. We called them on their bullshit. You know, we were polite and we were courteous, and we were well-spoken, but we called them on their bullshit. And we said, this is, you know, we see that you're not doing your job, and we're standing up to say, you must do your job, and we're not going to settle
right.
for anything less. And that is what it takes, ladies and gentlemen. Please understand, we are powerful. You are a spiritual being, and this is a universe that is made of energy, and our spirit is a powerful force. And when we get together and make up our minds and are determined about something, we can see change. We can bring change. So let's bring change and stop these predators from ruling our courts.
Right. And, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, and I, buddy, gloves are off, man. My mom is safe. How about my dad right now? My mom is safe. I'll be getting out of this. I'm out of the guardianship. I'm out of one court. I told God to get out of another court. Once I'm out of court, my gloves are off, man, because you know what? This is going to, I'm even going to be even harder on these people for what they're doing to our families. And there's quite a few of them here in Colorado. We have to stop. We have to get together. And now what I'm also trying to do is put different states together as well. I'm going to get some advocates from Washington are coming on. I've got some from New York, from South Carolina. We're going to be doing that also as well. Once a month, we're going to be bringing advocates in from different parts of the state to see what's going on, to see if this is coming together like we want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm also incorporating that. So I'll get to it. I will get to it. I just don't know when. In the meantime. Go ahead.
This is Julie. I was just going to say, you know, what do we want to accomplish? It's that, you know, we feel like we couldn't save Gary, and we're not able to do much for him now. But we feel that for future Gary's, or if you're, you know, for other people, that for his sake, that we're able to make changes and fight for him. So in that way, so we're hoping that this is another step in the right direction for that. So hopefully we'll have good attendance, even with all this virus thing going around and elderly people being scared to go out and, you know, in community.
Right.
But I'm just really praying that we'll get a good turnout and that people will start spreading the word. So thank you so much for what you've been doing and for having us on the show.
Yeah. Let's get together and I'll make sure. Go ahead.
I'd like to make an announcement.
Okay.
When we were at the summit, the consumer.org was handing out these bookmarks with a lot of hands up, and the message is, you have rights. And then it said, for more information or to locate, this is put out by the Ombudsman. I have a tough time pronouncing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ombudsman program representative in your area. You can contact the consumersvoice.org and get involved and report any negligence, any fraud done to any elder. And to confirm that, as I was saying, let me see, I'm going to make it 1 second. U.S. Attorney General William Barr and the Kellyanne Conway, what they said, and she's the assistant to the president and senior counselor, are announced to a crowd of 500 at the Sun City Center Community Hall, and that's when they came up with a national elder fraud hotline, and for people to report any negligence or any fraud that is going on at any level to this hotline, so it would be investigated, and they were very, very firm that elder negligence in fraud was no longer tolerable.
Well, yeah, and so if you have
President
that information,
Trump,
yeah. So Marcy, if you have that information,
President,
put that on our, send that to me. Send that to me, and I'll get everything up onto.
I texted it to you.
Okay, I'll get it up there.
I texted you both, and and they won. The 500 people, they said, all of you, what we want is for you to partner with us to help us find anyone that is committing this crime to the seniors who work so hard for their money for it to be taken away at their later years. And so that President Trump was not going to tolerate this, and that they were not. So
right. I just got like 6 thumbs up for Hillary saying, oh, my God, you're too damn cute, onward and upward. I got 6 people.
You know,
I have to write. My father used to tell me, and this is why I am so positive no matter what. He said, if you get on a boat and you think you're going to get across, you're going to get across. But if you get on a boat and you doubt that you're going to get across, you're going to start swaying back and forth and you're going to fall into the water. So anything you
right.
set your mind to, you say it's going to get done. Don't worry how it's going to get done, who's going to do it. Just put your set mindset to it, because positive people create positive energy, and then spirituality comes in, creativity comes in, intuition comes in, and then God will be that mastermind to bring people around so things can start to happen. And
there
I know that I'm hated for my mentality sometimes, but you know what? That's what my father taught me, and I'm sticking to
Amen.
It.
And we're sticking, and we're gonna honor these fathers and these mothers and our loved ones big time, and we're gonna fight for the Gary Cummings and the Mary and Jane Price Blevin families, and you know, and for Hillary's dad and Marcy's mom, we're gonna keep onward and upward. You know?
That's right. And the ones in the future, we are fighting to stop this. We're not going to put up with it. We're going to see these changes, my friends. We are going to make these changes, and we are going to see them in our lifetime. We're going to put an end to this
right.
kind of thing. We're going to stop it.
Right.
Yes.
So Julie,
Hillary was very successful in getting her dad out. She never
yes.
gave up. She kept going and going no matter her opposition. So if you talk about somebody being super positive, she never gave up. She got him.
No, I didn't. Right.
So
I don't know.
Both of you.
Yeah.
Maybe I was oblivious.
I'm
but, you know,
my mother, you know what? And she died naturally
yeah.
with no hospice, naturally. She had no pain, no nothing.
Right.
Oh, my God. God bless that woman. My heart is heavy about her. And it's heavy for the rest of my
it
life.
It should
but,
be.
You know,
that's
my mom, and I dedicate every single to marrying Jane Price Levin. She's my warrior, mother in heaven now, you know. But anyway, Julie, go ahead and whatever closing statements you want to talk about, what do you want to see happen? Any of your groups, go ahead and speak. Okay, go ahead.
One message I got from Gary was, thank you, friend. Don't give up. And that's the advice that I'm following. We're not going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
And we'll support you. We'll support you in any way that we can, anything.
All right. Julie, how about you?
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I really appreciate the chance to speak to you guys. And, you know, just listening to your radio show has educated me so much, and it's just made me more aware of everything. So appreciate it, and
good.
Thank you for just continuing to drive me, because I'm one of those who kind of I'm the Jonah who wants to run away and not really deal with this, because it's a little scary for me. But I appreciate, you know, all your passion and your drive. So keep on keeping on. So thank you.
Good. And Robert, how about you? Do you have anything to say?
Just, again, perseverance, many blessings to each and every one of you, and keep up the good fight, and pray for the best results.
Thanks, that's awesome.
Yes,
Neff,
yes.
How about you? Neff, are you still with us?
Neff is busy cooking us dinner, as usual, I'm sure he appreciates everything that you've been doing. So I'm just gonna
say
he's just waving
goodbye
and blowing
of a
kisses.
Too, boy. I heard he's
oh, he's amazing. You're
down
just,
try it.
Yeah, you need to be jealous, and also bring an empty stomach on Saturday.
Oh, good. No problem there. Okay, good.
Okay.
So we're gonna go ahead and end this show tonight. This is March 11th, 2020. Hope to see all of you at the Guardianship Movie here in Colorado Springs. I think it's going to be awesome. Rick Black, can't wait to meet you guys, meet you and your wife. This is going to be really exciting. Until then, I love you, Mom. I love all the moms out there, all the dads, all the loved ones. And giving up is not an option. and justice requires transparency and accountability. And, of course, what Mars really says, onward and upward.
Thank you.
Okay, good night, everybody. All right, we'll see you guys this weekend, okay? We're going to play a song called Higher Ground by Kelly Derrickson. Right. We're going to play Higher Ground by Kelly Derrickson. Good night, everybody.
I appreciate all of
thanks. Great show.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm standing higher ground. Hear the voices, they're not sound. There's no freedom in your life. Mother Nature, you sense she cries. Waters rising right before us. Hydropower, greed and lust. Sacred ground.
Don't know what the people don't know. So what are you gonna do about it?